From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Earlier this month, the World Health Organization declared Mpox a public health emergency of international concern. And now the World Health Organization has a six-month plan to try and contain this outbreak. So joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
And remember, folks, if you have a public health question, be sure to send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, you and I have talked about this a little bit on the program before, but if folks are just tuning in after a while, can you remind us again about this latest strain of Mpox and why this health emergency was declared?
Yes, and it can be a little confusing. So the monkeypox virus is divided into two what are called clades, but you can think of those as strains, clade one and clade two. And we've known about monkeypox for quite a number of years, but they've all been local outbreaks in Africa, mostly in just a few countries. And the clade two is typically associated with lower mortality. In Africa, about 1%. But part of that may be due to problems with their healthcare system. Clade one is the more deadly, and particularly in children. And its mortality rate has been anywhere between 4 and 11%. And so what happened that first put monkeypox on the radar, unfortunately, it should have been way before then, but when it first got attention was in May of 2022, when we had a global outbreak, which was, first of all, the first time it had extended beyond the African borders to our knowledge, other than with some very isolated issues of transporting animals that ended up being infected and so forth. But that and the other thing that was unusual about it is it appeared to be sexually transmitted, and particularly just in the homosexual and bisexual male population. So that was a strange twist. That was a clade 2 virus, the one with the associated with the lower mortality rate. And in the United States, our experience thus far was it was about 0.2% fatal. So even lower than what the experience had been in Africa. Why it's gotten attention now is that for the first time, we're seeing a clade 1, the more dangerous virus, break out of those countries where it had typically been confined. And we're seeing an explosive growth in cases. The last week we saw 4,000 cases, and I would caution that it is almost certain we are way undercounting cases because of the fact that the African healthcare system is not as robust. But 4,000 cases when the highest week before that was 2,500 cases. So it is really growing. And then it has caused attention because despite the actions by the African CDC to declare a public health emergency for the continent, and then last week when we aired, the World Health Organization declaring it a public health emergency of international concern, it right afterwards, it has now been identified in other countries, not many, but there's a lot of these that we're still waiting on the testing because there are still clade 2 cases like what we saw in 2022 out there. And so you have to test to tell the difference, which one is this?
So with that said, Dr. Pate, I mean, this, as you said, has a higher mortality rate. It's spreading quickly. So the World Health Organization announced basically a six-month plan to try and contain this outbreak. So what does that plan look like?
So what they have indicated is that in this next 6 months, to implement their plan, they would need about $135 million from member countries. And I certainly would expect that countries will ante up and give that money, because if this continues to spread, it's going to cost way more than that for the world's countries. But what they're going to do is to try to increase surveillance. As I said, we don't have reliable counts of cases. And part of that is we need a lot more information about how this virus is transmitting. Unlike the clade 2 outbreak back in 2022, which seemed to be predominantly and almost exclusively sexually transmitted among men that have sex with men, this outbreak appears to be sexually transmitted among heterosexuals, but that it also may have other modes of transmission, such as direct contact or close contact, and even respiratory droplets. So we need a lot more surveillance so we can tell how is this virus transmitting. Then the other thing is better diagnostics available to people in those countries. Unfortunately, this can be mistaken for chickenpox, and a lot of people are not even seeking attention, and we need diagnostics to get in there to tell, are we dealing with monkeypox? And if so, is it that clade 1 or is it this new, is it clade 2 or is it this new clade 1 concern? And then another strategy that has been effective for containing outbreaks is what we call ring vaccination. And that is when somebody gets a case of the monkeypox, then what we would do is vaccinate everyone that is around them, family members, coworkers, that kind of thing, because monkeypox has a very long incubation period, typically lasting anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. So there can be time to protect people with even post-exposure vaccination.
So with that said, Dr. Pate, you know, if someone living here in Idaho, I mean, how concerned do they have to be? What should they know? Because I will say this, I have a brother and a sister-in-law who have spent the last 3 weeks traveling in Africa. They are coming back home. They live in Oregon. They're coming back home today. I don't have any plans of seeing them anytime soon because of where they just recently traveled.
Yes. And I think that's going to be the highest risk for those of us in the United States is travelers to and from African states. And it used to be just a couple of states that we had to worry about, but it's many more now. And so certainly I think that people that have to travel to African states that are having activity, it would be wise for us to vaccinate them before they leave on their travels. And we have that vaccine available here in the United States. The as far as what is the risk, some people that I very much respect have said, oh, it's extremely small risk because there's no direct flights here to the United States from those particular countries. And I am not so similarly assured. First of all, this virus, like I said, has a very long incubation period. I think there are people that travel here from Africa, even by indirect flights. We found that was the case with COVID. I find it difficult to believe that we're not going to see cases in the United States, given this travel and given that people are not going to generally be protected. There is some thought that our smallpox vaccinations for us older people that got those may have some protection against this virus because it's in the same family. But, you know, we stopped doing that. I think it was 1980 that we stopped giving those vaccines. So people born after that are not going to have that protection. And I feel confident that the United States is going to see cases. Right now, it's not a big concern for us. But, you know, I'm just reminded that we saw this play out with Clade 2. No one thought that was a risk for the United States. And yet we were the second highest affected country in the world. So I think assurances that we're not going to see this are probably ill-placed right now.
I want to turn now to an issue going on back on the East Coast, in particular in Massachusetts. This is a deadly mosquito outbreak. Can you tell us what it's called? What, triple E or Eastern Equine Encephalitis?
Exactly. So this is a rare infection, but it tends to, when it does occur, it tends to occur in states along the eastern coast. And sometimes the Gulf Coast. So it's not generally a problem that we see here in Idaho, but obviously people that travel to those states certainly could be at risk. Typically, we see this when we do see this, and we don't see cases in every state every year, but we generally see a number of cases every year in the United States. The current case was a tragic case where a 41-year-old healthy man got this virus transmitted by the bite of a mosquito, and he developed the disease and was severely ill. This virus kills about 30%. Of the cases. So it's very high.
Wow.
And even those that survive often end up with long-term neurologic impairments. Unfortunately, he died, I believe, yesterday. Very tragic. It's rare, but it is a concern. And certainly the virus has been detected in mosquitoes in neighboring states like in Massachusetts. We know the virus is out there, but fortunately, not many people get it. But those that get it, it can be very tragic.
Mm-hmm. So again, Dr. Pate, something that we wouldn't see here in Idaho, but again, if you happen to be traveling back east right now, just be aware of that.
That's right. And typically these mosquitoes come out in around June, and then they're around until there's a hard freeze. So if you're visiting the eastern particularly northeastern states, make sure that if you're going to be out after dawn and before dusk, that's when most of the mosquito feeding occurs. Make sure that you have long sleeves, protective clothing, use DEET, D-E-E-T, mosquito spray. Make sure you're protected. Otherwise, the mosquito activity during the day isn't that high. But if you're going to be out camping, that kind of thing, just hiking, whatever, be careful.
Mm-hmm. So let's turn now to COVID. So Dr. Pate, tell us about some upcoming opportunities to order some COVID-19 home tests. And again, this is free of charge because that normally we have to pay for these now.
Well, that's right. And you and I have had questions from listeners about where could they get tests because they're so expensive. So the government has said that sometime towards the end of next month, and of course, on this show, as soon as we get a firm date, we'll let everybody know that they can place the orders. But they are going to allow up to 4 tests for each household. And so you can order these just like we had previous opportunities. You go online and order it, and the United States Postal Service will deliver it to you, and you'll get 4 tests for free.
So I have a question, Dr. Pate. What about if you have a home, at-home test, you know, in your closet right now that you haven't used? I'm thinking about myself in particular. How do we know if those are still good or not?
Yeah. So for a lot of the tests, when they first were coming out, we didn't have a long time to test them. So they were given relatively short expiration periods. With more time and the ability to test them, we have found that many of these tests are still reliable beyond beyond their expiration dates. So don't throw them away. Go to the FDA's COVID vaccine site and look up the new expiration date. So you'll be able to look through the particular brands and the type of test, identify your test, and many of these got an extra 6 months or so added on to their expiration date. So before you throw them out, go and check that for the updated expirations date, because they may be fine.
Okay. So of course, I think this happened within hours of us getting off the air last week, Dr. Pate. And this is the fact that the FDA authorized new updated 2024-25 COVID-19 vaccine. So can you tell us about what we need to know in regards to this? Because a lot of folks have been waiting for this news.
Oh, yes. So the FDA did authorize the new formulation. So this is based on a more recent variant, and this will be called the 2024-2025 updated COVID vaccine. And they authorized two. One is the Pfizer vaccine, and one is the Moderna vaccine. So those are both mRNA vaccines. There is a third vaccine that is going through the authorization process right now, which is not the mRNA vaccine. That's Novavax, which is based on our more traditional vaccine technology using proteins. So for those people that either had bad reactions to mRNA vaccines and want another choice, or just concerned about mRNA vaccines and want another choice, that one's probably going to be a few weeks, we imagine, before it comes out. But I think probably as soon as this weekend, you may begin to see some pharmacies with these new Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that you can now get. This will be the new formulation that has just been approved.
Okay. So I have to say, we've had quite a few questions come in from our listeners about the available, you know, when this new vaccine will be approved. We have that answer. But some people have written in wanting to know when it will be available. In fact, Ray wrote in saying, is there a source to find out who locally has recently released COVID vaccine? I checked with my healthcare provider who's affiliated with St. Luke's, and they have not heard when they will have it. And Dr. Bate, I've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. So the first thing, if you want to know right now and you're looking for it real soon, you're going to have to go to the big pharmacy sites, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, those kinds of things, and look for your favorite pharmacy. However, the government will have two options for you to find out about where vaccines are, but they say they won't have those up and running until the new COVID vaccines are widely available. So get your pen and paper, because if you're waiting just a little bit to get it, there are two ways. The online, you can go to vaccines.gov, and they will have a new page where you can locate what pharmacies in your area have it. The other option is to just text to the number 438829. And then just don't put anything except your zip code in the message part. And then send that, and then you'll get a list of pharmacies with phone numbers. And it even tells you which particular vaccines they have available But it's probably going to be a few weeks until that's available.
And Dr. Pate, very quickly, when it does become widely available, does that mean it's available to everyone in the population and we're not doing a kind of a tiered status?
Well, these vaccines will be available to everybody 6 months and older.
Okay.
And so, but what they mean is once the distribution has occurred and you have multiple pharmacies with these vaccines, then they're going to put up the information, probably because they need to find out themselves which pharmacies are going to have it. And then they'll put it in the on the online site or the text message.
Okay, so it's not like if you're over a certain age, then you can get it, and then a couple months later, you know, so everyone over six months will be.
Supposedly it'll be for everyone.
All right. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, so appreciate you and all of the information you give us. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as the co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Remember, if you have a public health question, you can send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we will do our best to answer it next week. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.